Welcome to Binge-topia. We hope you enjoy your stay.
Hey guys.
Hey guys.
We just tried to record about like 5 minutes of an episode and it was trash.
Much
it was
like
garbaggio.
Yeah, much like this time that I remember with a previous guy that I was having sex with. We were having sex and it was like 10 minutes in and he looked at me and he goes, "This is bad. Can we stop?"
I would kill myself.
But it was bad for both of us. I think it was just we were like both like going through the motions. We're like, "This sucks and I don't want to do it anymore." And that's how we felt.
And that's radical honesty.
It is radical honesty.
Welcome back to Binge-topia. I'm Julia Hava. I'm Binge City on all platforms.
I'm Eliza McLam. I'm Eliza McLam on all platforms.
And we are two roommates living the life. If you don't know anything about us, how did you get here? I don't know how you're listening to this podcast.
But we're happy to have you.
We're happy to have you. We're just two
self-employed roommates that will definitely get audited by the IRS because we have like 6 different income streams.
And none of them are successful.
Yeah, we have like 6 different like mildly okay income streams that we combine together in like a horrendous hodgepodge.
Which is still not a good income stream combined altogether. You guys, we're having some technical difficulties today that I guess aren't actually technical because it's just us.
Emotional and spiritual difficulties.
Speaking of spiritual difficulties, honestly, you have some shit going on spiritually because today Eliza came up to me and she was like, "You know that there are ghosts in this house."
And
I was
like,
"What are you talking about?" She was like, "And there are ghosts. Know that."
Well,
and I was like, she was like, "Well, when you're gone, like I hear people like moving around and stuff." And I was like, "I mean, we do live in like an apartment complex with thin walls and like in a canyonish area. So like we can hear all the noises from the canyon, including like owls and things like that, which I guess can be like a little spooky." But Eliza was like, "No, like they are ghosts." And I was haunted in fourth grade for a year by an old actress who went to an insane asylum. And I was like, "Period, queen." Like, what? I don't know. I haven't really seen a ghost, but Eliza is clairvoyant, according to her.
I do. I mean, yes, we are joking about it, but it is.
Eliza was not joking this morning.
And I'm
just making fun of her, but
joking.
She was not joking. So can you tell us about the ghosts in our house?
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing is that I haven't made like a conscious effort to really connect with them because like I'm not trying to get into like a relationship right now. Neither like on this physical plane of reality
or any other, not in the hell world.
Yeah, I don't know if the ghosts know this, but I have commitment issues.
Yeah.
But I do know that there are ghosts in this house. I think ghost is kind of pejorative. I think like spirits is
ghost
better.
Is an offensive term.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a slur on the other side, so maybe I should watch my language.
Yeah.
But I don't really know the difference between ghosts and spirits and whatnot, but there are people adjacent figures also in this apartment. But I was saying to Julia, like Los Angeles is a very haunted place generally.
Why do you think Los Angeles? I mean,
there's just a lot of history and like the like I was talking with a friend about this today, like when you live in LA, like all of your friends are like pursuing creative things and like there's literally just so much energy and like grinding happening here all the time. Like everybody comes here with, like it's so cliche, but everybody comes here with like a huge dream and like so much energy to like put behind it. And I really do that.
Hotel California.
Yeah, exactly.
What a lovely place.
What a lovely place. You can check out, but you can never leave. And that's why there are ghosts in the apartment.
And
but
then
it's
what's
fine.
That other
We're
one that's
cordial.
The other? Isn't there another one that's like about Boulevard of Broken Dreams? Is that also from California?
That's Green Day.
Wait, but that one is about LA.
I walk this lonely road,
not a road that I have ever known.
Yeah, that's Green Day.
That one's about...
Is that about
Broken
LA?
Broken Dreams. Isn't it the Boulevard of Broken Dreams?
I mean,
that makes me think of LA.
Yeah.
But
yeah, basically, I think LA is a very, like, spiritually also, like, a lot of spiritual people do, like, live around here. And there's, like, you know, I mean, a lot of them are, like, you know, white women with yoni crystals. So I think that's kind of the farthest away from
Can we bring up yoni eggs in every one of our episodes?
We actually have to because did you see the thing about Gwyneth Paltrow and Kim Kardashian? Somebody sent this to us. I screenshotted it, so let me find it.
Why am I falling asleep? Like, I take my Vyvanse that is a stimulant. It is like a cousin of methamphetamine, and I am sleepy.
Dude,
sleepy
I feel
baby.
That. It's a sleepy day. Somebody tell us what's happening. Okay.
It's the ghosts.
It is. I'm telling you. I think now that we've acknowledged them, I think they're going to start hanging around.
I feel like there are spirits in this closet that are making me sneepy.
Or maybe it's just like an enclosed space with warm lighting.
Ooh.
Okay, back to the subject at hand. Gwyneth Paltrow gifts Kim Kardashian with new lubricant, a vibrator, and a candle that smells like Kim's orgasm. Yeah. So that's what rich people are doing with their time and money. So just keep grinding, kids, and one day you'll be able to give
your bestie an orgasm candle.
Your bestie an orgasm candle. I feel like Gwyneth Paltrow and Kim Kardashian would not vibe.
I don't think they are besties.
No, I definitely don't think they are. Maybe Gwyneth is trying to win her over to the goomp side.
I feel like Kim would try to win Gwyneth over. More likely.
Really? No, I don't think that's true at all, because I think Kim would think Gwyneth is like kind of stuck up, and so Gwyneth wants to like prove to her that she's not. But she's already fighting an uphill battle because Courtney has her, what is it?
Poosh.
Which is goop adjacent.
It really
is. So, I mean, what can goop do that poosh cannot? And speaking of things that drain our energy, Chet Hanks exists.
White boy summer.
Yeah, so for those of you who do not know, prestige actor Tom Hanks
has a flop of a son named Chet Hanks. Nobody can imagine Tom and Chet having a conversation with each other, let alone being related, but yeah. They are. Apparently Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, that's his wife, right?
I think.
Produced this specimen known as Chet. And
he looks like you would think a Chet would look, by the way.
Yeah.
But he's like, so he basically made this one video that was
speaking like... speaking in a Jamaican accent? That was very upsetting.
Yeah, he's like vocally blackfishing.
Yeah.
Being like, it's a white boy summer, but not the like Sperry's and Vineyard Vines type of white boy, which is, you know, in reference to our last episode, he's saying, I'm not like other white boys.
He is saying it's a white boy. But then he made this merch and it's like, that looks like hate crime merch.
Yeah.
Like having merch that says white boy summer on it, it looks a little neo-Nazi like.
Yeah, and also like give Megan Thee Stallion her flowers for that.
Yeah.
Like none of this would exist without Hot Girl Summer.
Well, then he also made a Black Queen Summer.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he made a shirt that said Black Queen Summer and he said hashtag no disrespect.
Yeah, because somebody, it was actually really funny, I saw this video because somebody had bought a cameo from him.
Oh, I saw that.
Which is where he was like,
it's Alexis Wilson on Twitter.
Oh, she
bought
really?
I think somebody bought a cameo for her and he was like, Alexis, baby. And
like, I hear you're a black queen. I'm bowing down to you or something.
Yeah.
Which, like, I mean, that sentiment isn't all bad. I think you should keep that energy. And
except then somebody on Twitter was like, he's an abuser. And I was like, as everybody is. Like,
Chet Hanks milkshake ducked.
I don't remember what milkshake duck is, but I do remember that the dude who found shrimp in his cereal also is an abuser.
Yeah.
You can't go viral on the internet without being outed as an abuser these days if you're a white man.
Yeah, well, white men should just be hidden from society
just
generally.
Be quiet.
White men should not be allowed to go viral for anything.
But it's like, imagine being like Tom Hanks, like you work your whole life to just be like an esteemed actor who's like renowned worldwide, and then you just produce Chet. And I just remember last year he was like, yeah, it's true, you guys, my parents do have the coronavirus, they're chilling though, like it's not that deep. And like, he, I don't know, is he even interesting? I feel like he's not that interesting.
I feel like he's not. I think he's having his moment right now, his like 15 minutes that he's trying to capitalize off of desperately.
Yeah,
but I don't think
this, which is really sad. Oh, and then he like put out art. He put out a song. Should we listen to it?
Yeah, we should listen to it.
He put out a song called White Boy Summer. Okay, so the song doesn't exist yet, but Chet Hanks is a musician. He was formerly a rapper, Chet Hanks, Hanx. So let's just really quickly listen to this. This is called...
Let me first say, I have 80 times the amount of monthly listeners that Chet Hanks has, so he should be bowing to me.
But this is a song called Karma Tattoo by Chet Hanks. Let's listen. Smoke rings and naturally song,
and I'm the pain of me living without you. A little Drake tease. You know, I think that's where he and Drake align.
Okay, it's not very good. It's not embarrassing enough to not be good either.
Yeah, but I think he's trying to do the Drake thing where he, like, tries to do a Jamaican accent.
Is that a thing Drake does?
Yeah, dude. Drake did that all the time. I mean, I'm embarrassingly educated on Drake lore because I used to be a stan.
And you know what? It's like celebrity children are just a scourge upon society. Is that a word? I think it
scourge.
Is.
Scourge.
Scourge?
If it's not, we should make it.
It is. I think it is. Let me Google it.
Scourge.
He's a scourge.
And what is that? What's the definition?
He's a scourge. The definition of scourge is a person or thing that causes great trouble or suffering.
That is the perfect...
So he's a scourge upon society.
Definition.
And celebrity children are scourges upon society. And speaking of celebrity children, today we're talking about college. And Olivia Jade, similarly, is a celebrity child that has no business being as relevant or famous as she is. She's Lori Loughlin's daughter, Lori Loughlin from Full House.
Mm-hmm.
And her dad is Massimo Giannulli, who, like, made that, like, Target brand, Massimo.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I stan Massimo. Well, that literally was the backbone of my, like, 12-year-old wardrobe.
Yeah, well, that's her parents. And she was a YouTuber who made very cringy content, and then it got exposed that she... Her mom paid for her to go to college.
Yeah, her mom paid for her to get into, like, USC, which, like, no offense, but, like, if you're going to pay for something yeah. to get into somewhere.
And she faked...
Like, go Harvard.
She faked crew... Like, she was, like, on a rowing machine, like, faking it, which I just have to say, literally me in gym class. Like, if you took pictures of me, like, that's what I feel like I would do to prove that I, like, went to gym classes. Just, I would just sit on those, like, rowing machines mm-hmm. and just, like, chat. And I would just move back and forth. And so that, yeah, she got recruited to crew. We haven't seen the documentary, but when we put out a question sticker today and we were like, we're going to talk about college today. Like, what do you guys want to hear? A bunch of people said the college admission scandal, but it's just, like... Yeah, rich people pay to get their kids into college. Most of them just don't get caught.
Yeah, and spoiler alert, like a lot, like most people who get into like upper echelon colleges essentially pay to get there because they go to prep schools and they can yeah. pay for SAT tutors. Like the difference between kids who get into those schools and kids who don't is most of the time kids whose families have the resources to buy yeah. preparatory items and classes and stuff like that.
True.
So
you
it's
have to
like
have SAT prep and all
yeah pretty
things.
Much everybody pays to get into college.
I mean there like, is a little bit of a difference if it's like you failed high school and then your parents pay millions of dollars to get
totally.
You into Harvard. We're talking about college today. We are talking about pretty much just the sociological phenomenon of American college.
Yeah, and like the role that it plays, because to me I feel like college is supposed to be the bridge between childhood and adulthood, because you are on your own for the first time, but it is like, you know, you still have a little bit of a safety net there if you fuck up, as many people do, and as I think is a rite of passage in college. But it's very interesting because some people, like I went to GW, and they're like, first of all, it's an extremely expensive college, and the people that go there are
GW is like one of the most expensive colleges in
the country. It's like $75,000 a year.
That's
and
insane.
The people that go there are either the upper echelon who have the money to pay that out of pocket, or like the way GW financial aid works is they either give you everything or nothing pretty mm-hmm. much. So it's either that or kids who came from like low income mm-hmm. areas who like have their scholarship paid in full. Hi.
And you got a scholarship.
Yeah, I Queen. Got, thank you. Yeah, my merit and need based combined was like 50,000. And then I got a creative writing scholarship that was like 25,000. So I essentially went on a full ride.
Queen. And then she dropped out.
And then I dropped out. But what I was going to say is that there's some kids that like, because it's GW and like it's a good school and like has a good name and is very expensive, like there's literally like a Dubai prince that like went to GW and would just like fuck around and whatever. And I think college is so different depending on like what your income is like, because some kids are there to really grind it out and get an education, get good grades so they can go to like, you know, med school or grad school or whatever. And they're there to focus on academics and have to work a job to stay through school. And some kids, parents pay their full way, have a networking opportunity already at their parents' company that they just like need to do college as a formality. Mm-hmm. And so they're there to fuck around and get drunk. And I think that's like a very interesting dichotomy of people who are there for college, because college does not always serve the same purpose for everybody.
That's definitely
but it
true.
Is like, I mean, you... A lot of places now are like, you know, jobs, you need to have like a baseline college degree. It like doesn't even matter what you study. You just need to have it, which I think is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because I think most people learn more, end up learning more like life skills from college than they do like material things mm-hmm. that they need to succeed in their job.
Yeah. I went to Brown. So there also were a lot of like rich internationals. I think that's just kind of a thing, because if you're an international student, like you don't get any financial aid. Yeah. So a lot of schools will take... Like, not to say that international kids aren't qualified, because lots of them are, but, like, they have to always pay in full. Like, at least at Brown, that was the case. You went to some, like, fancy school. Lots of people who, like, are from countries where they could go to college for free, like, pay to go to college in America. So it's also, like, that's a really weird thing that you only do if you're really, really very wealthy. Because a lot of these countries, you can go to college for free. So, like, why would anyone, unless they're insanely rich, like, pay
right.
to go to college in America? I feel like at least at Brown, and I don't know what the situation was at GW, but at lots of schools, like, there just is, like, a whole group of like international kids or like really really rich kids, and like they only hang out with each other, and you have to have a lot of money to keep up with them even socially, because they're always going out to clubs every weekend, they're always going out spending tons of money, like getting bottle service at clubs and stuff. And if you can't financially keep up with that, then you can't be friends with them. And
exactly,
it's not,
it revolves
not like
around
a,
all their social activities.
Yeah, and it's not like they're like, you can't be friends with us if, but it really is something that happens when you're in college where like you kind of, people do get split into different socioeconomic categories, because it's like, well, if you want to hang out with us, then you have to be blowing a ton of money every weekend. And if you can't afford that, then like you just really won't hang out with those people.
Right. And that is like a real taste of the real world, because you can tell who has to work a part-time job in college or even a full-time job, many people, and who doesn't. And yeah. those people have very, very, very different college experiences. Like I, part of my financial aid was a work study. Mm-hmm. So I had to work for the school in order to like pay off some of my stuff. And I'm really lucky because our school bought a gallery. It bought the Corcoran Gallery. And so I got to work at a gallery as part of my like
That's
repayment,
really cool.
which was fucking dope and like literally one of the best jobs ever. But also that work study is essentially just paying off the debt. So I didn't mm-hmm. actually make money for that
You're
work.
An indentured servant.
I was GW. An indentured servant yeah. to the George Washington University. So I had a second job on top of that. Mm-hmm. And I like pretty much always had two jobs at the same time. And then, you know, across the hallway were people that, like you were saying, are like going out every single night and like going to fancy dinners and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you just really do like, you form social circles dependent on that too.
It's so true. And I really thought, like, I remember when I got into school and like, you know, you get in like the Facebook group or whatever, and you're looking at all the people in your Facebook group, and like there are people from like all different countries and all over the world and whatever, and you're like, oh my god, this is gonna be such a like diverse experience. And then you get there and it's like, no, the people from all the like different random countries like own that country, like they own everything in that country. Like it's not like, or it's like if there's just a random person from Kansas, like they own Kansas. It's not right. just like, oh yeah, regular people from all over America or all over the world are like coming here. It's like, no, like there are certain places that where people are from, like it's because they have a ton of
Well,
money.
It's also probably worth saying that we both went to very expensive universities.
That's true.
And like, I mean, Brown is very prestigious. GW is like relatively prestigious. I think this is definitely not true for like state schools, you know?
When it's a state school, it's definitely bigger. So I think there's like less of that. But like my experience with college was very much like I grew up in like an area that was like pretty well off, but I went to public schools. So it was like a good public school. But like I did not know anybody like nearly as rich as like the people that I knew in college. And in high school, and I thought I knew rich people in high school, and like I didn't. It's like you really see, it's like, oh my god, like all these like political leaders, like celebrities, kids, like anybody who's powerful, like you kind of see them all like at these schools. And it's just like, wait, I thought that this was like kind of like a mix equally of like all these people from around the country. And then it's like, no, it really is not like a representation of America. Like that's not what
yeah.
schools are like.
Yeah. So as we've talked about, I went to GW and Julia went to Brown. I dropped out, which is just something that I
recently.
Recently. I'm like a diet college dropout. Like I think I'm just gonna take a leave of absence for probably like 5 years before I like actually commit to like fully dropping out in case like this music shit really goes south and mm-hmm. I like need to scramble back to the George Washington University, which God willing won't happen. But when I went to GW, I went thinking that I was gonna do political science. So I got accepted as a poli sci major, and then I took poli sci classes and I was like, I'm gonna kill myself. And then I had to take like an arts class as a credit, and I took creative writing. And the second I took that class, I was like, fuck, like I need to not be doing poli sci anymore. Mm-hmm. So then I switched to creative writing as a sophomore. And I love the creative writing program, but I just don't think like college serves me right now. But that was sort of my trajectory from political science to creative writing. And so I would like, I guess my little like smidgen of advice about like majors and choosing and stuff is to just get there. And I wish my first year that I took like more diverse classes that I was actually like interested in. Like I know you have to like knock out gen eds for a little bit of it, but if there's something that you just feel like you're interested in, go ahead and take it as early as you can, because you may want to end up like shifting stuff around.
Brown doesn't have any requirements, so that was a really good thing about Brown that I really loved. Crazy. Yeah, I graduated in 2019, so I graduated right before the pandemic started, which in some ways I'm very grateful for, because I got to have my whole college experience and it wasn't interrupted, but it was also very jarring, like not even being a year out of college and then COVID happened, and then it was like, wait, what the hell? Like, I felt like I was supposed to be like getting on with my adult life, and like now I just like don't understand what's happening. But Brown doesn't have any requirements, so you can basically take whatever you want, and you can take all your classes pass fail if you want to, which is like crazy, but nobody really does that. But I just took like a bunch of different classes my freshman year, and I loved the history classes, so I very quickly was like, I'm going to be a history major. And then I was like, I'm going to do two. So I did history and psychology. I double majored, which definitely was possible because we didn't have requirements. So I could take all the classes that I needed to take. But I took, like, there were requirements within that major. But, like, so I did that. And then I took a ton of, like, English classes. I took, like, poetry classes. I took anthropology classes. I loved all my classes at Brown. I mean, not all of them were, like, amazing classes. But, like, I loved, like, my time there. I felt like I learned so much. Like, I was just very happy to be in an environment where, like, I was learning things all the time. And I honestly do really miss that about college. Like,
yeah, I do miss being in school and learning. Like, I ended up taking a lot of sociology classes too, like, enough to, like, get me a second major in it if I wanted to. And that was, like, a highlight of that too. And just being in that learning environment. And that's the thing of, like, both Julie and I are now technically post-grad. I mean, I'm post-grad in a different way. But college is the last time in your life, if you choose to go, that you have, like, a structured thing set out for you, because you're, you know, pipelined into it from, like, you've been in the school system your whole life, and you have these things that are set out for you, and you have schedules created for you and things to follow, and, like, mm-hmm. you know, and then you get out into an adult life, and I think that's what a lot of people struggle with coming out of college, is they don't have that structure, and they struggle to create it themselves. And so they end up in structured jobs, but then they work all the time. Like, they just work all day. And that also makes you sad, the same as, like, just a bunch of unstructured, like, unfinancially supported time does.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly felt like, oh my God, I'm literally in a spiral when I graduate college, because I never thought about what my life would entail after that. And I did spiral after I graduated college, and I'm still spiraling, but I don't know how much of that. Like, I miss college so much all the time, and it's been almost 2 years since I graduated now, which is insane. But that whole year post-college was like COVID. And so I don't know if I miss college so much, because it's really like the last time I had full social experiences where I could really do like whatever I wanted and like felt like I was growing as a person or whatever. I don't know if I would have missed it as much if my life had just continued as normal. But it definitely is like a very weird experience, because you go into college and it's almost like glorified summer camp. Like, it just feels
it is a big summer camp.
It just, and you feel like the college environment you're in is like the whole world, and it's just not the world. And then you get out and you're like, what the hell? Like, I'm just a random person in the world. Like, I'm just a sim that they let loose. Like, I thought that there was some structure to stuff, and there's not.
I do think a good thing about college, and you know, we have talked about how the social groups can kind of be insular based on like financial status and stuff like that, but I do remember like wanting so badly to get out of North Carolina, and once I got out and was in DC, which is also just a very like diverse and international city where like people come from like so many different countries, not just the school but just the city also, I was like, oh fuck, like there is a world outside of here. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what college does for a lot of people, specifically people who feel stuck in high school, is they go to college. Even if you go to your state college, you're like, oh my God, like it's, the world isn't just high school. And I mean, the truth is that the world isn't just college either.
Yeah.
But I think that's also why I liked going to like GW's an urban campus. Like, it's not closed in. There's no like, the buildings are just kind of like smattered across the city. So I did like that aspect too, of feeling like I was already in the real world. But of course, with that, there comes like minimal student support too.
Yeah.
Which, if you've ever tried to contact like a mental health counselor in college, you know, is true.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it for the most part is like a cash grab. Like, I found out about GW that they own the most real estate in DC next to the federal government. So it really is like a thinly veiled like real estate company.
That's insane.
That also just teaches classes sometimes.
Yeah.
So we asked you guys on our Instagram what you wanted us to talk about college, because obviously college, like the subject is just pretty broad and expansive. And so we kind of came up with a few categories of questions or like topics that people wanted us to talk about. And I think a huge thing for college and like what a lot of people think about and associate with their college experiences is figuring out their relationships and like their sexuality.
Yeah, I didn't feel like I was like a person before college. Like I just didn't feel like I had, and this is something that we talked about where it's like all these coming of age movies are about high school and it's like, why? Literally nothing happened in high school. Like high school flopped. Like I don't understand why. Eliza and I were looking up college movies and it's only like frat stuff or like Pitch Perfect. Like there's no movies that like take place in college in a way where it's like, this is like a transformative experience where you're figuring out who you are. That does feel like it's more of a high school thing. And for me, I did not know who I was in high school and I did not figure it out until I was in college. Like I just didn't, I feel like I just like the world wasn't opened up to me. And then when I got to college, I was like, oh, like now I'm able to like figure out who I am. And so that is a huge part of college that I don't know why the media doesn't really incorporate. It actually makes you feel super old for being in college. And it makes people feel like there's something wrong with them if they haven't had a bunch of transformative life experiences in high school, which is kind of crazy because for those of us who were like trying really hard to get into college and like whipping ourselves academically, like you just don't have a life in high school. So I definitely didn't relate to that like coming of age, like narrative. But there aren't a lot of like movies that are about college and like the way that I feel like you're figuring out so much about like your identity, what your social relationships look like your social life, what good friends are, like how you date other people, like what your sexuality is. Like there's so many like experiences where you just are kind of like at that turning point where you are figuring out who you are as an independent person away from your family and you're figuring out like all these different things about you. And it's like a very complicated time, like no matter what. I think college is really hard for a lot of people because you like are kind of just like, okay, who am I?
Yeah.
So when we asked you guys like about all these questions, like I categorize them, I put them into different categories because I do feel like these are these like things that you're kind of learning about yourself is like your relationship, sexuality, like social life, like what is a party, like what are like I'm putting weird things in my body now, like drugs, like what is that, like, and then also your mental health. I think for a lot of people college is the first time where like your mental health, like if you haven't struggled with your mental health before, like you probably will in college because it's just something that happens and it's such a weird environment to like struggle with your mental health in because there's so many people around you and like everyone's acting out and everyone's unhinged and like you're all struggling with your mental health. So those are kind of the categories that I put together.
I think relationships is a big one because it's also like the first time that you're away from your parents really. And yeah, a lot of people aren't,
except
like,
for Eliza was like getting her cheeks clapped, as she so famously said in
I was
high school.
Sucking and fucking in my parents' house all through high school.
Yeah.
Because I was allowed to be a little slotty.
So what did you feel like when you went to college? Like, how did that affect your relationships?
I mean, for me, it didn't personally change, but I feel like I knew a lot of people who weren't like allowed to date in high school that went like feral in college because they were finally allowed. And like, I thought I was going to have like my slutty years. And then ended up like landlocked into this like relationship for like 6 months with a closeted man, which, you know, I have empathy for him and like whatever. But also, yeah, like pussy dry for 6 months against my will.
Yeah.
And then once I got out of that, I was determined to like slut it up. And then I did for like 6 months until fucking COVID came
around.
When
did you end college?
March of 2020.
So you didn't really even have that much of a college experience.
No, I had less than 2 years, which does like make me a little sad. But it's also like I didn't want to, like, some people are back on campus now even though all the classes are online, and like I just didn't want to have the watered down experience of it. Like I would rather like do it full out and like have it be very enjoyable than do this like weird half virtual, half in person, which I think a lot of people are struggling with and like talked about in the questions and stuff too. But yeah, I mean, I personally think that having a serious relationship in college is a waste of time because those are your formative years. Like that's really when you're first figuring out like who you are in the world. And I'm not saying if you're in a relationship in college, it's like 100% a mistake. But I really do think that like your early 20s and like late teens are a time of figuring out who you are. And it's very hard to do that if you have like obligations to another person.
Well, that's always how I felt about high school relationships. Yeah. But I feel like you have all these realizations in college. Like for me, everything that I know about relationships and everything that I've processed about men, like I did not think like I didn't have like an opinion on men like before I went to college. Like, I didn't think they were trash. I was just like, oh, like men will be like nice. I don't know what the fuck.
So the liberal arts boys really fucked you up.
I really don't know what I thought. I just didn't have that many like romantic encounters in high school. Like I said, I was like really focused on like getting into college, and then my parents met in college, so I kind of had this whole idea where I was like, oh my god, like I'm gonna meet the love of my life.
So did mine. Yeah.
And then I just got steamrolled emotionally by every man that I interacted with for the next 4 years. But I really remember being like when I think about how I acted freshman year of college, and like what, like I was such a dumbass. Like I really thought that like men were gonna want like be nice to me. Like, wow, shocking. Like I really was not prepared for, like, I saw this tweet that was like, wow, like you really think that your love life is gonna be like a string. Oh, you know who it was? It was Ghosted 1996 on Instagram. Love she her. Made this meme that was really funny that I have to read, where she was like, me feeling the butterflies of romance as a teenager. How exhilarating. I can't wait to date a string of wonderful people until I find my soulmate by 24 and settle down to start our life together. Me now, please God, get it out of me. Please build me a gravity bong so I can kill them all with a fat rib. I can't take this anymore. And like, I really did think that like college was just the beginning of dating a string of wonderful people until eventually I find my soulmate. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck? Like, imagine finding a string of wonderful men. Like, you basically just
imagine finding one.
Literally, it's like the best you can hope for is a man who's not actively emotionally terrorizing you. Like, yeah, that's literally the best. Like, the fact that you would find multiple men, because that's the way that like also so many movies present it as, where it's like, oh, first I dated this guy and like he was nice, but like he wasn't the love of my life. And then I dated this guy and like he was great, but he wasn't the love of my life. And it's like, where are you guys having these good I think men were writing those movies, which
right, exactly.
I think the experience that men have, where they do just kind of have a string of like pretty mostly, I mean, I would say on average more positive relationships than women have with men.
Right. And then it just like, I don't know, then it reflects it back on being the woman's problem of like, he was so nice to her, but he wasn't what she wanted. And then she went for the bad boy. And then, but yeah, all this time there was just this man waiting in the wings. It's like, where is my man waiting in the wings?
Did you feel like you had any realizations about men when you got to college?
No, because I don't feel that my like one hostage situation relationship, can be generalized to all men. I think that he was like in a weird place.
The reason why my Instagram became successful was because I was just tapping into what all liberal arts boys are like, which is like dangly earring, like short pants, like they're basically
Reads Foucault
just
on the quad.
They're just a espresso. Different, they're a different, it's like every man is just like in college is just a Barbie, but like this is like hipster Barbie dressed up, and right, you think that he's like not going to be the same as like the jockey Barbie. And because he's, like, dressed differently, and it's, like, no, he's actually worse. Like, he's worse.
Much worse.
Yeah.
Because it's way more insidious.
Did you not have experiences with liberal arts boys in college?
I mean, not really, because GW is so full of, like, finance bros and, like, business majors and shit. I mean, there is a cool, like, underground art scene, and I, like, met actually a few, like, very nice, decent guys through there. But most of them have the asshole up front. Like, you can already tell. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, a lot of the reason why I didn't...
They wear their asshole on their sleeve.
Oh, absolutely. With the Reagan Bush 84 sweatshirt proudly displayed.
Yeah.
So I didn't... I also, though, like, by the time I got to college, I had already slept with, like, 9 people.
What?
Yeah. I told you, I was a little thotty in high school.
Yeah, we just had very different experiences arriving to college. Like,
no,
for
I
me,
had... I've never had as much sex as I had when I was, like, 16 years old.
Could never be me. That's wild.
It is crazy.
So I just feel like you kind of had like, I mean, you just didn't have a traditional college experience because you also just dropped out. So it's
yeah,
like,
I also said bye.
Yeah. So you didn't really get the chance to like have that. But definitely there were, if you're looking at it from other people, like I do remember so many people being like, first of all, like staying with their high school partner like at the beginning of college because it was like, oh my god, right, like we just can't break up. And then,
which first of all, please break up.
Literally everybody who was dating someone from high school and college like broke up, and like all you do is waste your time like for the
yeah,
first year.
And like I will say from experience, like I had a wonderful high school boyfriend who I adored, and we had like this beautiful last summer together before I went to college, and it was understood by both of us that we would break up before I left. And like, yes, it was very sad, but also it was like now beautifully self-contained looking back, because we knew it was happening. It was very amicable, very like loving and understanding, and now it's not tarnished by being like dragged into a place yeah, it was never meant to be, because that's how you fuck it up, because you like you take it past the expiry date. You know, it's like a dog, like a poodle that's like being drug around with three legs, and the owner's like, she's still kicking. Can you believe it? And it's like, oh my God, put the fucking dog down. Like, it's suffering.
Well, it also is just like when it's like taking a relationship from high school into college is when you like try to make a show longer and it's like it should have ended.
Yeah,
and
you can tell.
Like, you made the show worse because you kept dragging it out to like get more views. Mm-hmm. And that really is what it is, where it's like, and I get why, like, some people, when you're in a relationship in high school, I don't think people can tell that, like most of the times that's, like, the first relationship they've ever had, or, like, at least the most important relationship they've ever had. So it's, like, why would you want to give that up? And also, college is a scary time where you don't know people, and you don't know who you are. And, like, for me, I was very excited to just get, like, a fresh start in college and be, like, great. Like, I hated high school. Like, yeah. I'm just going to do my thing. Like, I have no connections to high school that are, like, dragging me down. But for lots of people, it's really scary to start college, and they want to keep, like, it's like a security blanket, you know? Either your experience, like, at the beginning of freshman year is just, like, you are dating someone from high school, or you're just like hooking up with a bunch of people because you feel like that's what you're supposed to be doing.
But some people do go to college and get a boyfriend like the second week, and then it's like usually the most toxic dynamic you ever witness.
It's like the same people who, like, whoever your best friend is when you first start college, like, they're not your best friend.
No, they're really not.
Literally, like, I remember I met a girl like on my like second day of college or whatever, and we were like besties for like the first semester, and then like our like relationship literally like exploded because we just should not have been friends for that long. But it's like, I do remember, like, you just cling on to the very first people that you meet because it's so scary being in a new place and you don't know anybody, and like you don't have like, and that's something that I really realized too, is like so many people who went to prep school or like all came from a similar school, like they had kind of like a friend group already mm-hmm. when they came to college, and then that was kind of like people just locked into those friend groups a little bit, which, yeah, and then, you know, there are some people who stay friends with, like, their roommate or, like, whoever the first person is that they meet. But, like, definitely don't, like, try to hold on to the first people you meet in college.
And I know it's very tempting to do that, but if you do, like, grasp onto the first social circle you're exposed to, like, it will just kind of blow up in your face, in my opinion. Because, I mean, you do want to give yourself the leeway to, like, figure out, you know, where you fit in, like, get into clubs and meet people through there. And, like, I mean, for me personally, like, well, I lucked out because I did meet my, like, literal soulmate in this entire world, who became my roommate for sophomore year, in, like, the latter part of my first semester. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until, like, second year that, like, things started to kind of fall into place and solidify. So, like, don't freak out if, like, you get there and, like, your first semester or two, you, like, don't find people that you super click with.
Yeah, I mean, it's also just painful. That's, like, another thing about college where it's just, like, figuring out who you are is like a very painful experience. Like, yes, it requires a lot of like I had so many friendship breakups in college, and because everybody is condensed into one small space, like, you just have the most chaotic experiences. Like, mm-hmm. people are unhinged in college. Like, everyone's unhinged. Yeah. At least that was my experience.
People at Brown were unhinged. And especially because, and we can sort of move into like the social and like partying aspects too. Like, I drank a little bit in high school, like, casually. I smoked a lot of weed in high school, actually. But I had never, like, experienced the drinking culture, really, until I got to college. And I blacked out, like, 8 times, like, my first semester.
Oh, my God.
It was really, no, and I didn't know, like, why I kept doing it to myself. I mean, I was also, like, in the throes of my eating disorder. So I was, like, not eating and then would, like, drink very heavily, which I think is something that's very common in college. But yeah, I remember I would black out so badly, and like this one time, because I would get violently ill every time, and
I was not doing that, my friend. Was I mean, I definitely was getting drunk, but I definitely think like sophomore year more for me, I was like getting really drunk
and yeah,
like vomiting in the bathroom.
I had to go to urgent care one time.
Everybody has to get, there's always one bitch who gets EMS'd.
Yeah,
multiple
well,
times.
I had to go to urgent care the following day for the worst hangover of my life, because at that point it had been like almost 32 hours without any food or water, because anything I took down I would immediately throw back up. And we went to like the sketchiest urgent care in the entire world. My freshman year roommate took me there. And because I was literally like weak and I could not intake any food or water, I was like passing out like every like few hours and stuff. And it was so sketchy. And the guy like sat me down in this x-ray room, which is where he was going to like put an IV in me. He takes the IV bag out of the closet, drops it onto the floor, and then wipes the needle off with his shirt.
What?
Yeah, I'm, like, too weak to even do anything. And I'm laying down in this, like, literal x-ray room. He, like, puts it up. He, like, tries to get the needle in me, like, 6 different times. Finally, like, stabs me in the arm. And he's like, okay, just lay here. And then I'm going to come back, like, before it runs out to, like, take it out. And, like, you'll start feeling better. And it did start feeling better because, you know, it's, like, saline going into your body and, like, fluids and nutrients and stuff. So, like, I did feel a lot better. But, like, nobody was in the room. Like, almost all the lights were off. It was very dark and scary. I was all alone. And I'm, like, looking up at this bag. And I'm, like, it's getting pretty low. And nobody's come back to check on me. Like, what happens when the saline runs out? Like, what will happen?
What do you mean?
If the needle is still in my arm and all the fluid is out. So it wasn't nothing because nobody had come back to me and all of the saline had run out. And all of a sudden I feel this like sensation change in my body. And I look up and the bag is starting to fill with my blood because it starts sucking the blood back out of me. And I hadn't realized it until the bag was like
out of you.
No, I hadn't realized until the bag was maybe like an eighth full of blood. And at this point, I'm starting to get lightheaded.
Oh my god!
And there's nobody in there, and the door is closed, and almost all the lights are off. And so
what the fuck kind of hospital was this?
It was an urgent care that I was like, it was the cheapest one I could afford to go to.
Yeah.
And so then I start banging my hand on the wall, and I'm like, help, help!
This is literally like Saw. This is terrifying.
It is because I'm literally getting like weaker by the moment because the blood is getting drawn out of my body. Finally, like literally 2.5 minutes, like a solid 2.5 minutes after I'm like banging and hollering, this doctor comes back in and he goes, oh, fuck. And I'm like, yeah, oh, fuck. And then he's like, it's okay. And then he like turns something and proceeds to start funneling the blood back into my body. So now I'm like lying there getting an involuntary blood fusion of my own fucking blood.
What the fuck kind of experience is this?
And
it's like, all right, reverse now.
Take it back now,
y'all.
So basically then my blood got put back into my body, thank God, where it belongs.
Isn't that what like Kim Kardashian does? She like takes the blood out of her body and they like put it in like a centrifuge or whatever and infuse it with nutrients and then they like inject it back into her.
I think so. So basically I pulled that. A Kim K.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I remember he like
Eliza, that's the worst story I've ever heard.
It's funny now looking back. But then I had like, you know, very long time the blood was all coming back into my body. I'm like feeling insane.
How much blood do you think was taken out of your body?
Like, I'm not good at doing measurements, but in cups, probably like 3.
Cups?
Yeah.
Blood?
Yeah.
Were taken out of you.
Yes.
Wait, I don't understand why the thing has like a reverse switch where it just starts sucking out your... Like, well, if the IV like... is putting things into you, why does it just start sucking things out of you?
Because I think it uses like some vacuum or like gravity force to like put it in. And then once there's nothing in there, it has to start like sucking it back out.
Why didn't you just take it out?
Well, there's no way in hell I was gonna do that. I already hate looking at my own veins or like getting my blood drawn or anything. Like, even anything, like any character in a movie, I was literally about to bleed myself dry rather than
wait, this
out
is terrifying.
No, but he did come back to take out the IV and he takes it out and like puts, first of all, my arm looks like I'm a heroin user.
Oh my God.
Because he's tried to stab me so many times. And then he puts the band-aid back on and then aggressively slaps my arm right where he put the band-aid on. He's like, that wasn't so bad, was it? And then he charges me $330 and then I Uber home.
Eliza, you should have sued them.
Can I sue them for that?
Yes, that's literally medical malpractice.
Well, I was 18. I had no idea what was happening.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That was the end of the story?
Yeah, I mean, that is the end of the story. I mean, it did feel better with all the saline in my body. But after that, I didn't black out again because I was like, I'm not going to pay $330 again to have an involuntary blood transfusion of my own blood.
I remember it's so normalized, like the drinking, is that people would just get EMS. Like literally, yeah. That was like a verb. It was like, oh, like they're getting EMS.
Yeah, we called it emerged. Yeah, because there was literally a student-run service. Because people were like,
yeah, you would
to be
like, you would be outside your dorm and like they would be pulling someone out on a stretcher and yeah. It's like, oh, somebody's getting EMS.
There she
no,
goes.
No, but it was like, oh my God, I so remember that. But I remember like specifically health services at Brown was so bad. Like they were horrible. Like, the worst.
Was that, like, mental health?
No, this was just, like, the doctor. Like, if you went there, like, right. I had to get my blood taken, and every time they would take my blood, I would have, like, a huge bruise, like, the same way that you're talking about. And one time I went there because, my freshman year, I was feeling, like, sick, so I went there, and they did a mono test, and they were like, you don't have mono, like, there's nothing wrong, like, you're fine, you just have a cold. And then I came back a couple weeks later for something else, and they were like, why didn't you tell us you had mono? And I was like, what? And they were like, yeah, you had mono. And I was like, you literally said that I didn't have mono. So then I, like, probably knowingly gave mono to people because they didn't tell me that. And then senior year, I have so many friends who, like, had horrible experiences at health services. Like, they would go there and be like, can I have birth control? And they're like, what, are you, like, a whore or something? Like, they would just be insane. But I remember I went because I had a sore throat, and I had my, and then the lady was like, you have a heart murmur. And I was like, oh my God. What? And then she was like, oh, LOL, never mind, Lalzi. She literally, like, was just checking my heart, like, because I was just getting a checkup because I had a really sore throat, and she was like, oh, your heart is, like, beating irregularly. And then she, like, decided that I had a heart murmur, and I was like, you can't just tell someone that they have a heart,
like,
murmur.
She's literally, like, cosplaying as a cardiologist. Yeah, like, she's literally probably just bored in brown health services, like, ooh, it's a heart murmur.
But they famously would do shit like that all the time, and it was so bad. Yeah, and then if that's the thing is, like, health services would be closed on the weekends, you would have to go get EMS'd. And wow. It was, like, a whole, like, but it feels weird that, like, it's just normal in college for people to have to go to the hospital because they're drinking so much.
Yeah, I mean,
I
was hospitalized on the first day of class, but that was because I got mold poisoning from my dorm building.
What? Why are you not suing GW? I don't understand.
GW should be sued. Yeah, that's the whole thing, is that they have black mold growing in all of their dorms, and then they just paint over it every year. So we had, unbeknownst to us, no idea that black mold was growing in our room, and I have, like, pretty severe asthma. And I just, like, one day, like, first day of classes, I, like, could not breathe and, like, had a hefty hospital bill from the fucking black mold that was growing in the dorm.
Wow. So, honestly, I do feel like college is a time where your body just really takes a beating everything you're doing. Like,
a heavy
drinking,
beating,
smoking.
Having really bad sex.
Yeah, just, like, suffering, not eating well, mm-hmm. like, eating things out of vending machines.
You're like a little goblin in college.
Yeah, and you really, like, that's the thing is your body really can take that when you're, like, 19, 20, like, right. Whatever. Although you're 20 now, but whatever. Eliza's, like, past her years. She was destroying her body in high school. But, like, there's only so many years that your body can take, like, heavily drinking and smoking and, like, staying up late and eating like shit. And then it's like, you can't do that anymore. And it's insane. Like, I never really even drank that much in college, but I do know people would drink every single night and, like, go out and stuff. And right. I'm just like, how are you doing that? Like, I don't know how people tolerated the amount of alcohol that they tolerated.
No idea how that was sustainable. Yeah, and I've always been the type to get, like, super bad hangovers.
Yeah.
So, like, it's amazing to me that people would go out on, like, a Wednesday.
Did you ever, like, throw up at a party?
Yes.
I threw up on, like, on the, I don't know if it was on the ground or, like, on myself at a party. That was not good.
Yeah, I definitely have thrown up many times in many places.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is that, like, you also have to learn how to, like, take care of other people in college too.
Oh,
like,
God,
in that
yeah.
way, like, I remember this story.
Why
of, like,
is college, like, when you think about it from, like, a sociological phenomenon, it's like we really pay thousands of dollars to go somewhere, poison ourselves, and then, like, be violently ill, and then, like, do it again the next day. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
I mean, I do think it's kind of good in that you are in a space where you can, like, quote unquote, get it all out with, like, support structures and stuff, because when you're out in the world, then you just become, like, homeless and arrested. Like, college kids are, like, incredibly privileged in that, like, they can do insane amount of drugs. And,
well, it's
like
you're not an alcoholic until you graduate. And
no, exactly. That's the thing. And a lot of times it does not end there. And that's the thing is it's not, for a lot of people, it's not just like, oh, I'm fucking around in college. I'm, like, drinking every night. Hee hee. Because then you graduate and then you become a wine mom. And it's like, oh, hee hee, bottle of wine every single night. And it's like, that's actually alcoholism. Like,
that's true. And I do think that college kind of encourages certain behaviors that don't serve you super well, like, out of college. Like, obviously, you, like, learn how to do well in school and, like, you learn whatever. You get, like, academic accomplishments. But, like, the things you learn socially, like, I do not think are, like, helpful. Like, why? Like, you just learn that you should, like, drink all the time and smoke all the time and, like, stay up late and, like, have bad relationships and do risky things. And it's, like, you can do those things when you're in college because you're in, like, a more secure environment. But when you do those things in the real world, it's, like, bad things happen to people in college, too.
Right.
But it's just, like, I think that's a huge problem, too, with, like, when people talk about, like, sexual assault in college and stuff, is that it's kind of under this guise that, like, oh, you can do whatever you want in college and go wild, but it's, like, safe, you know? And it's not.
Yeah,
it's not
still
safe.
Not.
And, like, it's not emotionally safe. Like, like hookup culture, and we talked about this in our Call Her Binge episode, is like makes it seem like, oh, it's just so fun, like you just hook up with whoever and whatever, but it's like you do, like things do have an effect on you. Like if you have to get your blood taken out of you, like that does have an effect on you.
$330 is no small fee for somebody who had to work two jobs, one of which was not paying them.
Yeah, and if you get sexually assaulted, like that's not, and like everybody has been sexually assaulted in college, like
pretty much
like that is just a place where that happens. And there isn't, they give you like a seminar at the beginning of college that's like, don't sexually assault people, and then everyone proceeds to get sexually assaulted. And it's like, that should not also be a normal part of college. But I do think that that is a combination of like the drinking and the hookup culture, like especially boys, like they behave like heinously in college. Like there's such a thing where like men were always like stealing exit signs and like breaking things in dorms. That was like a whole thing that they were always doing. And it's like, especially if you're a boy, like you have the idea that you're not an adult and the things you do don't count, but like they do count. And like you can traumatize people for the rest of their lives.
Then we just let those men loose into the real world.
Yeah.
With like little to no consequences, like when they're in college. I'm talking about white men specifically, because we all knew white men or boys, whatever, in college that did shit like that and then just go on to like terrorize people in the corporate world and still face no repercussions from it. I mean, that's what's insane, is that like any Friday night activity for like a random white student in college would get like a black man on the street arrested. It is a place where like white kids are allowed to just like behave recklessly and without consequence in ways that like other people would never be able to. Or
yeah, definitely, like stealing things, breaking things, like punch, like getting in fights, like crazy shit like that. Like, and you know, you just don't. It's also like, and I understand that, like, I just think this is like a super American thing too, because in other countries, like the drinking age is 18, so people don't like go insane in college.
Right.
But like America has a very weird relationship with alcohol. Like,
it's like everybody gets fake IDs in college anyway, and like everybody is drinking in college regardless.
Yeah, and but it's weird that like America has such a, like it's almost like, oh, drink, like it's good to drink, like you're encouraged to drink. That's part of college. And it's like nobody really questions that, and nobody really, like obviously sexual assault and like bad things happen without drinking and things like that. But
it is exacerbated.
And like I'm not even talking about frats, because Brown didn't, like Brown had frats and sororities, but it was really not, like Greek life was not big at all. So I can't even talk about, like Greek life is literally the perfect environment for like horrible things to happen to people.
Yeah. GW did, like there was a GW Survivors Guild, and they like accepted anonymous stories from people, and they ran the stats after receiving like hundreds and hundreds of stories. And over 50% of the stories were related to somebody in Greek life.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, not surprising, but like fucking insane. I think it was like 2/3 or something.
It's crazy when we talk about college, like we're barely even talking about the academics. Like it's not interesting to people. Like there is a whole part of college that is the academics, and it's great. And like I learned so much, and I am so grateful for everything that I learned in college, but there's so much more of it that's just this huge other part, which is partly why people hate COVID in college, because you only get the academics and you don't get the social part. And there are obviously great social parts, but there also are things that are like written into college where you just get thrown in there, and like nobody tells you like, oh, don't go to a frat party or whatever because bad things might happen to you. It's just like it's presented as if it's summer camp and everything is monitored, and like, you know, it kind of has the same vibes as like, oh, like here's an activity that everybody does, but it's not monitored, and it is like conducive to like drinking too much and like behaving recklessly. And like when you're in a frat, like nobody knows what happens in a frat, and nobody talks about what happens when you leave the frat. And that is something that it's like, why is that something that we just have in colleges that people are just expected to like figure out for themselves and experience? Like it's bad for men too. Like they're just drinking excessively, and like they have,
and especially the frat culture of like, you know, you have to do certain things in order to like prove yourself to other men. Like it's just,
it's
such
a pick me behavior, like we were talking about last time. Yeah. And I just, it's weird that that goes along, like it's like the academics have nothing to do with like all of that. For a lot of people in college, the academics are like an afterthought, and like you were saying, tons of people go to college to party, like that's what Olivia Jade literally said when she talked. But she was like, yeah, I mean, I want to go to college for like the social experience, like I don't really care about the academics or whatever. And people hated her for that because it's like an incredibly privileged thing to say, but it is something that a lot of people do. Like they go to college for the social experience, the academics are an afterthought, but the social experience is like, what are we really like offering people, because I do think, like, I met some of my best friends in college, like, I had amazing times in college and stuff like that, but it's also like people don't warn you about how hard certain things are going to be, or like what to look out for, what to watch out for. And like you hear all these things of like, oh, like don't let someone take your drink, or like don't do this or whatever, but it's like when you're actually in that environment, like the schools should be doing something about preventing bad things from happening to their students, but they don't.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a lot of people also don't talk about how lonely it can be in college, like, yeah. Even, you know, when you are heavily involved in social circles, we already, you know, have talked about how that can be kind of toxic. But if you're not and you're on the outside of that, I mean, I think even though most of our coming of age stories are about high school, like nothing is as like immortalized in glamour and, you know, hedonism as college. I mean, everybody tells
but
you,
but all the college stories are all about frats and sororities.
Yeah, exactly. Is you're going to go crazy and you're going to go drinking and partying and you're just going to like do dumb shit and whatever. And like if you're on the outside of that and you're just in a position where maybe you are focusing on school because you have to, or you are just like not in that kind of social circle for whatever reason, it can really feel like I'm not getting the college experience. Like idea in like our collective imagination of the college experience involves binge drinking and behaving recklessly and sleeping around a lot. Mm-hmm. And like that doesn't have to be your college experience. Like you can have a college experience where you don't like have a drop of alcohol and like you get really involved in the chess club and like that can be really fun for you. And that can be like a wonderful, beautiful time where you still get to like explore who you are that doesn't involve like, I don't know, an involuntary blood transfusion, say.
Of your own blood.
Of your own blood.
Yeah, but I do think it's also, like, even if you don't think, like, because I went to so many parties and whatever, and I remember I would go to certain parties and I'm like, I would have to be so drunk to enjoy this party. And that's the thing too, is that like so many things are awkward and like people aren't genuinely trying to socially interact with each other. It's like, let's just all get as fucked up as possible to like hide all our insecurities. And I do think that's the thing about college, where so many people are insecure and so many people don't know who they are and they don't know how to interact with other people,
and alcohol is a perfect social lubricant.
It's a perfect social lubricant, but it's also disastrous because then you, like, I remember always waking up being like, holy fuck, who did I text last night? Like, what, like, it has not been since college that I've left myself, like, drunk videos on my phone of me, like, talking to myself, you know? Like, that is such a thing that happens in college, and then you kind of come home, and, like, either you're like, what the fuck did I do last night? Or you're like, now I have a hangover, and, like, what did I really gain from that? And it's almost like everybody wants to go through that, because then they like come out on the other side. But it is weird how we just have these 4 years in America where you're supposed to just like destroy your body as much as possible, and then you just get out and they're like, all right, have a real job now, and it sucks.
Right, go work a 9-to-5, bitch.
Yeah, and it's like, I definitely, graduating from college was like very jarring for me, and like being out of college is just one of the most difficult transitions, because you go from like having all your friends around you, like where you can walk to all your friends and like you have a very structured life, to just like, okay, now choose something. And it's also, it does really feel like when you graduate or when you leave college, it's like, okay, fun is over, like that was the fun you were supposed to have, now like you don't get to have fun anymore. Isn't that kind of what it feels like? It is like,
yeah, totally. And I mean, I think that we are both in like very special positions where we do like in one way or another work for ourselves.
Yeah,
and
but so I didn't when I first got out of college.
Because you worked a 9-to-5.
Yeah, and I hated my job, and I was like, I'm not using anything that I learned in college. I miss learning things. Like, this isn't, like, I'm not enjoying this. And it's like, either you go to more school or you just, I mean, we've talked so much about, like, the 9-to-5 and, like, why that's not beneficial and, like, why we hate that and whatever. And, like, yeah, maybe college is a little bit, like, too hedonistic, but it's like, you don't go to college thinking, like, this is the last time in my life that I'm going to have freedom and, like, be able to enjoy myself.
Well, it's just because there's no social structure, like, to support you. There's no welfare when you get out of college. You really are on your own. Like, I, like, don't you wish we had, like, a socialized, I mean, because when you go to college, you have, you pay for expenses that are covered. Like, your food is covered, and your housing is covered, and your healthcare is covered.
And everybody has the same things.
Yeah.
It's the same system for everybody.
Exactly. Like, wouldn't it be fucking great if, like, you got to come out of college and experience that in the real world, and you, like, had, like, monetary security, and you had, like, food security. Like, what if our taxes went to that kind of thing? Like, it really is like you have welfare and like a safety net, like when you're in college, and it is a fucking rude ass awakening to be out of that. And even if you do work for yourself, you've paid 30% of that in taxes. Like, there's no, you know, there's no way to
Yeah, and I saw this tweet it. Like recently that was like, I think people romanticize college so much because people just miss living in like dense, walkable neighborhoods with community support and like social support. And it's like, yeah, and I do think in Europe too, like college is just not as big of a deal because it's like there already is a sense of community. You already have like certain social structures built in. So it's probably not as jarring. Like maybe, and a lot of people do say like, oh, college isn't as fun like in other places because it's not like necessarily like the on-campus experience. But I feel like it is less jarring because you do still have like healthcare and like shit like that when you leave. It's not like, like in America, it's like, okay, now you're out of college, like scramble. Now you have to all like either, and back in the day it was like you get married. Like that's what you do. You get married and you start your life. So I do think college is kind of this like, and you don't realize it until you're gone, but it's supposed to be this like last hurrah where it's like enjoy your life before your life sucks. And I think so many people of our generation are like leaving college and first of all not being like, that was the most amazing time of my life. Like I don't want that to be the peak of my life. Like I would be very sad if that was the peak of my life, but also I don't want that to be over, like the period of figuring out who I am and what I want to do and what and I having, want my life like, to be like, having
the support to be able to figure that out, because like, you know, and I'm thinking of something that Kat said in her interview, which is like, I was shocked at how many things that feel core to my personality I didn't figure out till I was like 30.
Yeah. And it's like when you spend all your time just trying to live, because that's what being an adult, so much of it is, like, you don't really have time to, like, I remember when, and I am really grateful that like now I can work for myself and like, obviously like COVID has made us have a lot of time to introspect, which is completely different. But I mean, it was so hard getting out of college and also having like a super busy job. And it's like, I don't even have time to think about who I am.
And that's like the design of capitalism, because if we had time to like putz around and think about shit and we weren't being shuttled from like our jobs to caring for our kids and to figuring out how we're going to pay for healthcare and rent, like we literally, it's too much of a mental stress to think about, wait, does it have to be this way? How can we make it not be this way? How can we resist? Like that takes so much emotional and spiritual energy that you literally don't have under capitalism. And like that's also why like capitalism doesn't support the arts, because if people were encouraged to be more artistic and creative, then we would have more like mainstream critique about the system that we're living under.
I mean, it's also like you're paying for that experience, and that's what you forget about too. And then people have like loans that they're paying off for the rest of their life that were like, why was this worth it? It's like, I didn't realize that I would be paying off this experience that was like good but not like worth like hundreds of thousands of dollars off for the rest of my life. And now it's like, oh, that those little 4 years that you had that were nice, now you're an indentured servant and you have to pay that off for the rest of your life in like a job that you hate. And that's a really rough transition. And I do think so many people are just like, this is not the way that like we want to live, because it isn't. It's like, it's just like, I don't know, I can't believe that like, I do think capitalism designs, or at least like the American college system designs it as like, okay, have your fun, then go do your job and like become part of the workforce or whatever. Right. And it just like, first of all, colleges do not help you get a job. Like they don't help you figure out, most colleges do not help you figure out what to do after college.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you can get like alumni support or whatever, but like nobody they just let you out. Like you're out, you graduate, and then you're like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with my life?
And the other thing is that like the main thing about scoring professional jobs is networking. And like networking is made easier if you have a big school name, because you quite literally have access to more like important people.
But it's also like networking is so stupid. Like I hate the idea of networking. It's just like you just have to talk to people like and just like basically present your personality
and make connections with them in a very parasitic way that's not at all about actually connecting with them and getting to know them.
No.
And so you have to balance that with like, how do I make a genuine connection with this person but also like score from them what I want?
Yeah. And then a lot of times all you're left with from college is like good memories and like bad habits, and then you are like drinking your way through your job because that's what you did in college, and those are the things that have left, that are left over from college. Like when the things that should be left over are like whatever philosophical conclusions you came to about yourself and the friendships that you have. But like it's hard to maintain these friendships afterwards too a lot of times, because it's just like, how do you maintain friendships when everyone's busy and everyone's struggling trying to like make
That's the thing about adult life too, is that everybody is so busy. Like you quite literally have less time to see each other and see people, and like people start having kids and families, and then you really don't have time to see each other.
Yeah. And I think that it's like, if so many things, like, all people are left with from college is, like, a ton of debt and, like, bad coping mechanisms. And, like, that shouldn't be the way that it is, because I do think college was, like, an amazing experience for me. Obviously, it was hard in lots of ways, but, like, college has the potential to be, like, an amazing experience for, like, so many people. And, like, but it's way too expensive. And mm-hmm. it's like, imagine if you taught people like mental health skills in college and they
right. like, or like how to do their taxes or like what to do about a 401k. Like,
I mean, actual... that stuff is like, I'm bored. I don't want to have to learn that.
Well, yeah, you know? but those are things that you need in adult life and things that people get fucked over with. Yeah, but a lot it's of like,
imagine
time.
If they just had classes on those things right. after you graduated from college, because that was just the government wanted to help you figure out how to live your life.
Right. Or if the government just made like the tax system and the retirement system less confusing.
No, or you just, like, had healthcare and yeah. you didn't have to get a job to do it. It's like, it's so fucked up. And like you said at the very beginning of this episode, like, you really do have to be in a very privileged position for all of this to work out for you. And it's just crazy that, like, we aren't taught, like, what do you do after college? It's like, okay, so all of your life, it's like, okay, then you go to high school, then you go to college, and, like, it's so important to get into college, but people don't tell you, like, what if you have, like, debt from college, or what if you have this experience, or, like, so many people I know, too, like, couldn't finish college, or don't finish college, or take time off, because they're having really hard times mentally, mm-hmm. and there's absolutely no mental health support at most colleges. Like, the mental health services are trash, and everybody is having a mental breakdown, like, all the time. This is, like, specifically, I think, a problem with our generation, too, because we just are struggling so much with mental health. It's kind of like a question for, like, is the structure of college the way it's set up now, like, it's set up to, like, drop people into a capitalist world, and, like, maybe college alongside, like, the world needs to be restructured, you know?
Yeah,
because wouldn't it be nice if, like, college wasn't the only experience you have where you get to enjoy yourself and be free and, like, not worry about all these things? Like, it's not normal to have to constantly be worrying about, like, oh my god, like, did I pay my bills or this or that. And it's like, obviously when you're an adult, like, there's more responsibilities and things like that, but people worrying about, like, oh my god, my healthcare is gonna run out, like, all these right. things, like, that's partly why college is so enjoyable, because you don't have to worry about, like, feeding yourself, and you don't have to worry about, like, making sure your electricity is on, and, like, all these things, because it's like, you're paying for that in college, you're paying for your electricity, you're paying for your food, but someone's organizing it for you,
right? Like, imagine if we just did that with our taxes.
Yeah, imagine if it just, like, your life was just organized for you, and you just had healthcare, and you just had these things, because that is, if you want to be successful in college, like, those are the things that they kind of set you up for success. And it's like, why do you present people with this utopian vision of, like, what life could be like, and then they're like, JK, LOL, hope you enjoyed college, like, now it suffer.
Yeah,
that's really what it is.
Exactly. We should turn the whole world into college.
I don't know if
minus
that's
all the drinking and the sexual assault.
But Eliza, I want to, because you also, like, you don't have this, like, traditional experience, like, you obviously are not in college right now, and I do think that for lots of people who were in college during COVID, like, it did disrupt their traditional college experience, and so maybe now the idea of what the traditional college experience was is going to change, like, now post-COVID. Do you miss that structure at all? Like, how does that feel for you to not have?
I definitely miss the structure, but the semester that I took off where I traveled and camped and farmed was, like, literally the most transformative 6 months of my life, and, like, I think it is natural for that to happen, for you to want to be in a structured environment. Obviously, like, COVID complicated this, but I think, like, taking years off in between college, like, should be, not to use the, like, overused Twitter term of normalized, but for lack of a better term, normalized, because I think that that was very important for, like, my development. And, like, had I just continued down the pipeline of being like, because online learning just didn't work for me, which is mainly the reason why I did it. And now that I'm here and I had to, like, I had the opportunity to create so much growth for myself and to imagine a world and a life outside of college while still having the security of I can go back to college and fall back on that structure mm-hmm. if I need it, which, you know, in an ideal world, we would all just have structure to fall back on if we needed it. But that security gave me the freedom to go out and explore. And I wish that's something that more people had access to. And now that I am getting opportunities without a college degree, that I'm realizing I don't need it, I mean, I take out a lot of loans. Like, it's not worth it for me at this point to go back and, like, finish a degree in creative writing when, like, at this point, my own,
you can,
like,
just write creatively.
Yeah, when the things I've created for myself, like, I'm already established as a creative writer. Like, that's how I'm getting places now, and people are, like, recognizing that, and that's not something that I need a degree to do. And had I spent more time on the degree, I would have less freedom to actually figure out the real world skills that I got to use and hone, because you are sort of, like, pigeonholed in some way. during college.
I also don't think college is for everyone, and I don't think everyone should, like, I don't think jobs should make it a requirement that you have to go to college, because so many jobs, like, nothing I learned in college would have, like, helped me do that job, you know? Most jobs, it's like you are trained for them on the spot. You learn how to do the job as you do it. And also, like, if you're somebody who's interested in, like, why can't you just do, like, what you did and go farming and camping and do that instead of college? Like, why can't you have...
And I learned so much more in those 6 months than I did from, like, my classes. Even though I did learn a lot from the classes, too, like, the experiential learning was, like, a big part of it, and just like learning how to navigate the world is something that you don't always get a big piece of in college.
Well, it's also like, if college is going to be a requirement for like doing things and for getting a job, then it needs to be paid for. Like, you can't expect people to go into debt for something that like, and then get a like barely paying job that will not cover their debt. Like, it's
I saw this tweet a while ago that's like, we create, or like, we treat college as a necessity but price it as a luxury.
Yeah.
Which is very true.
Which is like, ultimately, like, I think it would be best if college was like paid for and you didn't have to pay so much for college. And I mean, I don't know if that will ever happen in America, but it's insane how much college is priced as. Like, if everyone should go to college and that's something that, you know, jobs want people to do, then college needs to be more accessible to everybody. And like, also, it's just like, people, like, education needs to be better in America. Like, K through 12 education needs to be better, because people are not going to get into certain colleges if they don't have like good education. And we don't have centralized education in America. We don't have like, you know, good public schools all across America.
Yeah, it's very make much education up to states. More accessible to everybody. Teach in different learning styles. Eliminate shit like the SAT, which is basically you buy, like, the knowledge to learn how to take the test in the correct way and get a good score. Like, just break down the barriers and make things more accessible, and don't fucking charge people to go to college if you're going to make that a requirement.
Yeah, and, like, just the way that you see, too, like, with the college admission scandal, all of that, like, it is a business. Like, all of this is a business. And, like, colleges, so many colleges are a business. Like, they're not even, they present themselves as like, oh, this is a center of education, but most of them are focused on making money because that's what they need. And it's like, that's not good for colleges either, to only be focused on making money. Like, we don't allow colleges to be colleges. We don't allow colleges to be like havens for academic learning, because in order to be a successful college, like, you don't get funding from the government if you're a private college. Like, you have to fund it from tuition, and you have to fund it from donations and things like that. So that's why you can pay your way into certain colleges, because colleges are businesses, and they can be, you know, they can be bribed. But if colleges were getting money from the government, and like, there was, you know, our taxes were going into colleges, and like, the government actually cared about making college accessible to everybody, then it wouldn't be tempting for colleges to like take these bribes from certain people, because it's not all like, it's at the end of the day, like, back to capitalism, like, money just corrupts everything. And like, yes, college is great and you get an education sometimes you don't, but like, if all of it is about money, like, that's not going to be a good experience for like the professors, for like the people who are running the college, for the people who are going to college. Like, because if money rules everything, then people with more money are always going to be able to like pay their way into certain experiences and pay their way to the top of the world. And like, we're never going to have, like, the gap between rich and poor is just going to keep getting bigger and bigger, because money is the only thing that like talks anywhere.
Oh, here we are, ladies and gentlemen, back to capitalism, back as we always circle it. We are in a unique position now because we are both post-grad in different ways and are learning how jarring the real world is in comparison to college.
Yeah.
And I think even though there are issues inherent to like the American college experience, one thing that we're pointing out is that like, there is a social safety net there that would make the adult world less jarring had it been allowed to continue.
There are great things about college, like getting the time to think. Like, that is what you're supposed to do in college, is like, think about your life and think about who you are. And like, if you don't have time to do that, then you don't grow as a person. And like, that's the most important thing, I think, is like psychological, spiritual, like emotional growth for people to have. And like, when you are constantly working and grinding, like, that doesn't allow any space for like growth or like changing your mind. We don't allow people to like get new information and change their mind about it, because they're inundated with like other shit that they have to do. And so people don't like, we don't really get to focus on like figuring out who we are and what we want to do. It's just like, funnel you into this system and then get out of it. But I do think that it's great that college allows people to like figure out who they are. And it would be great if like everyone had time in their life and weren't working like 12 jobs and could have time to think about like what they want to do and what they want their purpose to be. Because if everybody led like a more purposeful, meaningful life that meant more to them, then like everything would be better.
Right. Well, I'll just close out by sharing my favorite college-related piece of media, which is The Social Network. Aaron Sorkin's screenwriting is amazing. The opening scene is like a piece of art in itself. That's the one movie that I have watched probably more times than any other movie.
Really?
Yeah. It's just, have you seen it?
Yeah.
It's, I don't know what it is about it. It's highly entertaining, very well written. Also, Jesse Eisenberg, call me.
Literally, it's like one man didn't get pussy in college, and so he ruined everyone's mental health for the next 35 years. Like,
thank you, Daddy Zuck.
Yeah. That's what do you have to say about The Social Network? That's your positive
answer. That's my positive thing to end on, is that if you just like need something entertaining to watch and you like Jesse Eisenberg, you should watch The Social Network. Also, Andrew Garfield and fucking Justin Timberlake and, oh, Armie Hammer, our fave king.
Oh my god, Armie Hammer plays twins, yeah, which is really
Armie Hammer's in there twice.
Oh, also, a couple people were talking about our live stream, and they were like, fuck, I missed it. So if you missed our live stream and you want to watch it, it is available on our Patreon.
It was a very fun time.
It was a very fun time.
And on the topic of Patreon, we have a very special to give to our godly wife, Nicole Pearl.
Our only godly wife.
If you'd like to make her a sister wife, go ahead and do that. But Nicole, really just not enough things to say for you. I think the light, the eternal light shines out of your soul. I think you are the most beautiful person in the entire world.
Nicole is a tier one girl boss.
Top tier girl boss. And we really appreciate you.
And we appreciate all our patrons. Thank you guys so much, everyone who's subscribed to our Patreon. Thank you so much to our listeners.
Yeah, we love all you guys. Of you. Every single one of you. We love you so much.
We also love all the emails that you send us. Sometimes we don't know what to do with all the emails because they're about like previous topics, but we do read our emails. We love when you guys send us emails. We love when you tell us what to talk about because sometimes our brains are just like marbles like rolling around in there. Let's just end our episode with Eliza. What's something you're looking forward to this weekend or like in the future?
Well, this weekend I am house sitting for Kat,
and which is
you know, she has a beautiful, beautiful home. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna have some vaccinated people over.
We are Eliza and I both got fully vaccinated this mm-hmm. week. I think honestly we're still feeling a little zooted from the vaccine.
Yeah, I'm definitely
Moderna
coming down.
Is a hell of a drug. It
yeah
really is.
And it sure is. Yeah, Julie and I were both like bedridden for the day
our
after.
Brain fog is like, my brain fog is not entirely lifted.
Same.
I will say that. But yeah, I'm so happy to be vaccinated. And yeah, the weather, not that the weather is bad in LA, but it's just like you can kind of feel springtime is mm-hmm. in the air. The birdies are chirping. The ghosts are coming out.
Yes, everything, they are.
Things are just coming back to life. And I feel like it feels that way too with COVID. It feels like things are coming back to life. People are eating outside. People are getting vaccinated. I'm feeling hopeful about the future.
Me too.
I'm feeling excited to hang out in Kat's mm-hmm. glorious home this weekend.
Ah, me too.
And we love you guys. We hope that you are having a wonderful day and that... period.
And with that, bye, Benchies.
Bye, Benchies. Love you.
We hope you enjoy your stay.